Hello and welcome to episode number 30 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded March 11, 2016. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news and then end the episode, as always, by answering a whole bunch of reader and listener submitted questions about the Fire TV or about technology or about anything really. I mean, I'm pretty open with things. The podcast streams live every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, always goes up the next day on Saturdays in audio format and in video format on youtube.com/AFTVnews. So let's go ahead and get started. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is this routing guide that I just put up. It's basically how to route the Fire TV 2 using KingRoot. And this is a little different than the routing method that I put up maybe about, 2 weeks ago. Biggest difference is that this method does not require the A to A USB cable anymore. So that cable is something that most people have to buy specifically to route their device. Most people don't have a A to A USB cable laying around. But now, because KingRoot is capable of routing the latest Fire TV software version on the Fire TV 2 and pretty much all Fire TVs, I put up a guide on how to use that as an alternative if you don't want to use the A to A cable method. So the process is pretty straightforward and pretty simple. Best thing to do is actually go to aftvnews.com/start. So that's the location of my starter guide, and basically that's where you should start to root any Fire TV device, in my opinion. I walk you through all the steps. I keep it updated, you know, weekly, monthly, as anything changes in the whole rooting world. And so as you can see here, if you're watching the video version, you basically go in, you select the device that you want to root, and then from there I tell you what's going on. So right now there are two methods for rooting the Fire TV 2. One is the KingRoot method, which I just finished my guide for, and the other one is the older A to A USB cable method. It pretty much works for all versions of the Fire TV 2 right now, up to the latest version 5.0.5, and that's what this guide covers. And so if you go into the KingRoot method, it basically walks you through those steps. First thing you want to do is follow the guide that's linked that roots the Fire TV 2 using KingRoot. And just to go over that real quick, basically all you're doing is you're downloading KingRoot version 4.1. It's an APK file. You sideload that onto the Fire TV 2 as normal. I recommend using 4.1, not the newer version, which right now I think is 4.8, because 4.1 lets you do everything without having to plug in a keyboard, and it's just easier to just use the remote. So you sideload 4.1, you launch it, you hit the try root button, it does its thing, and then when it's all done, you basically have a rooted device. And now you'll see that this guide ends at this point, but that's because in the starter's guide, that's where it takes you through all the different guides that you have to do in the right order. So after you've rooted with KingRoot, then there's the other guide that I just put up, which is how to install TWRP on an already rooted Fire TV 2. And so regardless of how you root the device, whether it's in the very old 2 hour long USB cable process, whether it's with RBox's quicker 10 minute process, whether it's with KingRoot, doesn't matter how you root, you can then follow this guide for installing TWRP custom recovery. And for those who don't know, TWRP custom recovery, it basically allows you to modify the operating system of the Fire TV. And it's important to have on a rooted device, because if you do something to a rooted Fire TV that messes up the operating system, if you don't have a custom recovery installed, then you're basically out of luck. You've bricked your system and you've got no way to fix things. So TWRP is very important to install right after you root the device. And so installing TWRP is very straightforward. Once you're rooted, basically you just push this zip file onto the device, connect via ADB, run a little command, it does its thing, it literally takes just a few minutes, and then you've got TWRP installed. And then once you have that installed, you reboot the device, use the menu to enter TWRP. Again, it's all laid out in the guide, and then you can use the final guide, which I wrote a while back, on how to use TWRP to flash a pre-rooted ROM. So again, this is all for the KingRoot method. Again, doesn't require an A to A cable, so this is pretty much the suggested method for rooting the Fire TV 2 now, just because it doesn't require connecting to a PC, it doesn't require installing drivers, it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of things that it just cuts out, because you can use an APK to actually root the device. You don't have to connect it to a PC. Now, the downside is that KingRoot itself installs a bunch of what I would call junk apps. You know, it tries to install these Purify apps, it tries to install its own user management app. The good news, and the reason why I waited to write this guide, is that since you can install TWRP and since you can use TWRP to flash a pre-rooted ROM, you can basically wipe out all of that junk that Kingroot installs. So basically you're just using Kingroot to root the device, and then that's going to let you go to TWRP and go the pre-rooted ROM route. And the pre-rooted ROMs that RBox released, they're clean. They don't have junk in there. Really, there's only one app that he has installed, which is the SuperSU app. And that's pretty much required to grant root and SuperSU permissions within different apps. So it's not junk, it's a required app. But I do recommend, as I mentioned in this guide, is that after you root with Kingroot, install TWRP, and then install a pre-rooted ROM, I recommend the next step to be to factory reset the device. And you could do that within TWRP. All you do is you go into TWRP, and in the top right corner, there's a wipe button, and that basically wipes the cache and wipes the data, which is essentially factory resetting. And the reason I recommend doing that is because even though you're installing a pre-rooted ROM, that's wiping the operating system and making it clean and removing all the Kingroot stuff that's in the OS, but the Kingroot apps themselves are still present, and so it's a good idea to do a factory reset. So again, you can find all that information at aftvnews.com/start. Of course, there's a link in the show notes that I'll put on this episode, and that'll help you root your Fire TV 2 if you haven't done so yet and you plan to do it. All right, next up, as I mentioned in the last episode, I want to talk a little bit about third-party game controller support on the Fire TV and the second-gen Fire TV. So I've been doing a little bit of digging into the FireOS 5 software update, comparing it to the older FireOS 3 version. And one of those things that I realized was that Amazon has added a bunch of new key layout files for additional third-party controllers. Now, what a key layout file is, it basically maps what the buttons on a third-party controller do on the Fire TV. Now, a key layout file is not required for every single controller for that controller to work on the Fire TV, but having a key layout file specific to a very specific brand of controller just means that you're going to have guaranteed button support. You know, some controllers will connect and the joystick will work and the A, B, X, Y buttons will work, the shoulder buttons will work, but maybe like the menu button or the back button might not work, or you might get a different button here and there that doesn't map correctly. And so that is resolved by having a dedicated key layout file for that controller. And so I'll put a link in the show notes to this article that I wrote, and it lists all of the key layout files that exist on the new FireOS 5 software update. And so going through the list of controllers that were added recently with the FireOS 5 software update, the classic NES controller, which is basically the old Nintendo controller, very simple one, a key layout file for that was added. One was added for the SNES retro controller. And again, this article has a link to all of the exact controllers that are supported. The way the key layout file works is that there is a vendor ID number and then a device ID number. So I went ahead and looked up which actual controllers that those vendor IDs and those devices map to or are associated with. And so maybe not all SNES controllers, for example, that work either via Bluetooth or via USB cable are going to work on the Fire TV, but the specific one that I've linked in the article is the one that basically maps to the vendor ID and the device ID. Moving on, there's a Logitech cordless Rumble Pad 2 controller that works, the Ion GoPad folding controller, which is actually pictured up here in my article, that little tiny one in the front, that one is now officially supported. Now again, like these controllers, they actually were working prior, but Amazon has now kind of more officially supported them by adding these key layout files. The SteelSeries controller, three different controllers from Razer, four different controllers from Mad Catz. Mad Catz makes a lot of Xbox 360 controllers, and Amazon has added a bunch of these third-party Xbox 360 controllers as, you know, supported controllers on the Fire TV. The two Nyko PlayPads, the PlayPad and the PlayPad Pro, are now more officially supported because they have a dedicated key layout file. An Asus controller, the old OnLive controller. I don't know if you guys remember the old OnLive streaming gaming service, but that device actually came with a controller, and so now that's actually officially supported. And so just so you know, some of the controllers that were in FireOS 3 that are still supported in FireOS 5 are the Microsoft official Xbox 360 controllers, their Xbox 360 wireless dongle that lets you connect the wireless controller, a bunch of Logitech controllers like the F310, the F510, F710. Also, this is an odd one I found. The Logitech G24 racing wheel is actually, you know, there's an actual key layout file for that racing wheel. So I mean, I'm really curious if that actually works with racing games on the Fire TV, but hey, there's a key layout file for it. The PlayStation DualShock controllers, the Nintendo Wii remote, nunchuck and classic controller, the Ouya game controller, and of course the older first-gen Fire TV official game controller. So there's your list. If you want to check that out, of course, link in the show notes. You can look through that list and know kind of which third-party controllers will work best. Again, this isn't the definitive list of the controllers that only work with the Fire TV. There are a whole bunch of other controllers that work. A key layout file is not required for a controller to work. It just makes it work better, essentially. All right, before moving on, Shelt chimes in here on Twitter asking if the routing guide that I was just talking about works for the Fire TV 1. No, it doesn't, but it's a really good example of what the routing guide for the Fire TV 1 will be once Arbox releases his TWRP and custom ROM for that device. So for the Fire TV 1 running FireOS 5.0.5, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, that is rootable with Kingroot, but I recommend people not to root yet. I recommend they block updates and stay on version 5.0.5. That way Amazon doesn't release a software update that blocks rooting and that gets downloaded. So you can go to aftvnews.com/block, and that'll show you how to block the software updates for the Fire TV. As soon as Arbox releases TWRP and a pre-rooted ROM for the older first-gen Fire TV running FireOS 5, those guides for the Fire TV 2 that I just put up on rooting with Kingroot and installing TWRP, pretty much identical to how it's going to happen on the Fire TV 1. But just note that you don't use those, because those are very specific. The TWRP is very specific to the Fire TV 2, and the pre-rooted ROM, of course, is very specific to the Fire TV 2. So you cannot use those files and that guide on the Fire TV 1. But if you want, you can skim through it just to get an idea of what the process is going to be like as soon as we have TWRP recovery and pre-rooted ROMs released for the first-gen Fire TV running FireOS 5. So Chris chimes in on Twitter asking if you need root to add or edit a key layout file. You definitely need root to edit a key layout file because they are under the system directory. But I did read a comment from somebody saying it was there's a possibility to actually add a new key layout file without root. I haven't looked into it yet myself. It's something that's kind of on my list. But with root, you absolutely can do it. And you know, it requires root if you go in and try to just manually move a file into the key layout directory. But it seems like there might actually be a way to do it without root. Maybe there's an alternate user key layout directory that you can add files to. Again, this is something I plan to look into. So hopefully in a future episode, I'll talk about that. All right, moving on to some new apps that were released this week for the Fire TV. First up, I want to talk about the NCAA March Madness app that just got released. So this app will let you live stream all the upcoming college basketball tournament, championship games. I think there are 67 or so games that are coming up in the tournament for college basketball. And so now you'll be able to watch that streaming through the Fire TV. The app works across all Fire TVs, including the Fire TV sticks, but it does require FireOS 5, so you will have to be updated to run this app, it looks like. So in order to watch all 67 games, you will need to activate the app through a traditional cable subscription, but the app description says that any games that are airing on CBS specifically will be available for free through the app without the need to activate. So some of these games are going to be on CBS, some are on TNT, and I believe some are even on ESPN. But only the CBS apps are going to be completely free to everybody. The rest are going to require activation. So I'll put a link in the show notes to this app if you're a college basketball fan and you want to check it out. All right, next up in new app news is the release of Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories for the Fire TV. This is the newest Grand Theft Auto game that got ported over to mobile operating systems like Android, which is what the Fire TV runs. It's a bit on the pricey side right now at $6.99, but if you've been looking to play this game, it's available now. Available for the first gen Fire TV and the second gen Fire TV. Doesn't require FireOS 5, so pretty much any version of the OS on those devices will run this game. This game was originally released back in 2005 for the PlayStation Portable and got a lot of great reviews back then, and then now recently it just got ported over to some of the mobile operating systems, so that's why it's made its way over to the Fire TV. You will need a game controller, as you probably expect, to play this game, so you can't play it with the remote control. The game description says that the Graphics have been updated since it's an original release on the PlayStation Portable, so this game should look a little bit better than it did back then when it was first released. But definitely check it out if you're looking for a new high-quality game to play on the Fire TV. All right, next up in news, I want to talk about the Amazon Tap and the Echo Dot a little bit. I've been getting some emails from people who have just put in their orders for the Amazon Tap and the Echo Dot. As I mentioned and talked about them in detail last week, these are the new devices from Amazon. The Amazon Tap is a portable speaker that's basically like a portable battery-operated version of the Amazon Echo. It has Alexa built-in capabilities, and the Echo Dot is basically the Amazon Echo, but without the big speaker part. So essentially, if you want to just interact with Alexa and connect the Echo Dot to your own set of speakers, then it basically adds Alexa to any speakers you have in the house. So very popular, it seems, with a lot of people. And so that popularity has resulted in it kind of being sold out. So both the devices are available for pre-order right now. They're set to be released March 31st. But if you put in your order right now, it looks like your Amazon Tap won't ship for at least a month after that. So probably early May. And the Echo Dot won't ship until early June, it looks like. Now, if you put in your pre-order right when these devices were launched back a week ago, your order is not delayed. Those early orders are definitely going to receive their devices on March 31st on the release date. But just letting you know that they are fairly popular, and they are basically, the first run is already sold out. So you're going to have to wait for Amazon to get more from the factory than they initially were planning to get for you to get your device. So again, if you want either of these devices, you should put in your pre-order now, because basically you've got 2 months to decide whether you actually do want the device, and you can always cancel that pre-order up until it ships. So if you put in that order now, it kind of guarantees the date that you're going to get the device. And so you can decide later if you want to actually get it or not. It definitely seems like the Echo Dot is by far the more popular device out of these two. You know, basically with all of the capabilities of the Amazon Echo, but at half the price. I think that's kind of why the main reason it is so popular. A lot of people have their own stereo system or have their own Bluetooth speaker, and so they don't need to buy the whole speaker system that is the Amazon Echo. They just want that Alexa capability. They want that always listening microphone set. And so I think that's why the Echo Dot is so much more popular. It's basically like a cheaper version of the Echo, and you basically get all the same functionality. The Amazon Tap is not the same functionality, because that requires you to press a button for you to talk to Alexa. So it's more, like I said in the last episode, more of a speaker with Alexa capabilities as opposed to an actual dedicated, always listening Alexa device. So link in the show notes to more information on both of these devices if you're interested in them or interested in pre-ordering them. All right, next up, I just wanted to mention that the second season of Amazon's original series, Bosch, just aired basically today. It's all available now. So if you're into that, I really was a big fan of the first season. I've been waiting for the second one for a year now, and it finally has premiered. So all 10 episodes of that second season are available to stream for free for Prime members. So link in the show notes to that. I think it's a great series. It's an hour-long kind of cop drama. So Titus Welliver plays Harry Bosch, and he's a homicide detective. It's a pretty good series. You know, it's a nice drama, a little bit different than what Amazon has been putting out with their other shows. So I highly recommend it. Just wanted to let you guys know that it's now available. All right, last bit of news I want to talk about before we move into the Q&A section of the podcast is that a job posting kind of reveals that Amazon is now working on a virtual reality platform. So the job posting says that basically Amazon is looking for a manager to essentially head their new virtual reality team. And one of the quotes from the job posting that's kind of interesting is that it says that the manager's tasks will include an ingestion and playback platform for virtual reality experiences. So that kind of has led people to speculate that it's not just that Amazon is going to get into the virtual reality content creation, but actually the virtual reality content distribution. So Netflix has released a VR app, and Hulu is set to release their VR app, I think, in this spring. So looks like Amazon wants to get in that game also. There are a bunch of VR devices coming out. You've got the Oculus Rift, the HTC Sense. Samsung is making a device called the Gear VR. So there are definitely a few hardware VR devices that are released and going to be released very soon. So Amazon definitely wants to get in this game, and I think they should. Hopefully we'll see some interesting stuff come out of Amazon and come out of all the different content creators out there and the big networks. Now, there's no indication in the job posting for this VR position or this VR manager that Amazon has put out that there's going to be new hardware that Amazon's going to create. So I don't think they're going to release a VR headset or anything like that. I think right now they're looking more into just the content side and the content distribution side. You know, you can probably think of this as being more part of the Amazon video side of Amazon as opposed to the Fire hardware side of Amazon. You know, I don't think there's going to be a Fire VR headset or a Fire TV VR or Fire TV integration right now. I think this is just going to be like an Amazon video, as Amazon video is a distribution platform for content to be put into it. So probably going to be something like an Amazon video VR, that kind of stuff. All right, let's move into the Q&A section. We've got a whole bunch of questions here and topics people want me to talk about. And so we'll get into that. Of course, people watching live can always tweet me at AFTV News. I monitor Twitter live while I'm streaming, and so I'm always looking at questions there. So feel free to chime in on Twitter. All right, first question here is from LD Beta Guy. They say, do you think there is any chance that an Amazon video app will yet appear on the Apple TV? Or is there just too much corporate politics going on for this to ever happen? I don't have any insider info myself, so I'll say that first and foremost. But in my opinion, I doubt there will be an Apple TV Amazon video app released anytime soon. I don't think it's an impossibility. I mean, I think it will ultimately depend on how popular the Apple TV gets. And so far it's not that popular. Amazon has said that the Fire TV is the most popular, best-selling streaming device right now through a third-party survey that released that. And so I think the only way that Amazon will kind of backtrack and actually release an Amazon video app for the Apple TV is if that device becomes so popular that they can't afford to ignore it. That's kind of the case with the iPhone and the iPad. There's an Amazon video app released for those devices, but it's a very crippled app because you can only stream video. You can't purchase anything through it. You can't join Amazon Prime through it. So it's not ideal for what Amazon would want out of an Amazon video app, but they can't really afford to ignore the iPhone and the iPad just because they are so massive. You know, they're almost half of the mobile market right now. So they had to release some kind of Amazon video app for that. But the Apple TV is not that popular. I mean, it's popular, you know, but it's not dominant like the iPhone and the iPad are. So I think that's why Amazon is comfortable not releasing an Amazon video app for that and trying to just drive people into their own ecosystem. So I got next question here from Ray. He says, what's Amazon's warranty policy like on devices that screw up on the boot logo? Are they 1 or 2 year warranties? Amazon officially has a 1 year warranty, but their customer service is pretty good. So if you just get on chat or you get on the phone or you get into an email with them, they're pretty good about replacing a device that, you know, just kind of messes up and stops working. So even though you might be out of that 1 year warranty on a device, if it's kind of your fault, you can, you know, still get on chat with Amazon support, and the person you're talking to is in a good mood, they'll probably just ship you out a replacement. All right, next question here from Monkey. They say, do you think VR will integrate with the Fire TV in the future, or do you suspect they will be bringing out another platform to accommodate this? So as I was saying when I was talking about the VR platform, I don't think it's going to be an actual hardware device. So that's why I don't think it's going to integrate with the Fire TV. Definitely not at this point, you know, maybe a few generations down the line. But to do VR, you need a pretty heavy system because you want to be at that at least 90, preferably I think 144 refresh rate to be, you know, perfectly smooth, because when the refresh rate for VR is not really high, you end up getting motion sickness issues with people. And so the device has to be very heavy duty. And so that's why the Samsung VR stuff that uses the mobile phones, it's kind of more of a gimmicky trial, you know, like first step into VR, whereas the Oculus Rift and the HTC Sense, those are true VR devices. And those devices, you know, they require a heavy duty PC to back them. You know, the Oculus Rift, while it itself is $500 or $600, it actually requires a $1,000 to $1,500 PC to actually run that device. And because it's basically just the display portion of it, it's not the actual processing power of it. So I'm pretty sure the Fire TV would not be able to do VR well right now, at least. But I think the first step for Amazon is to actually get VR content and then consider doing actual VR hardware. Next question here is from DJ1. He says, is there an ETA on when Arbox's root will be available for Fire Stick, both first and second gen, or is king root the way to go? Please advise. Thanks. So first of all, Rbox's root, as you call it, is not a new rooting method. You're still going to use king root to root the device and then just use Rbox's TWRP and pre-rooted ROM. So this is not a new rooting method that's going to come out. What you're waiting for essentially is TWRP custom recovery for that device and pre-rooted ROM, basically, so that you can keep updating the device. Now, as far as an ETA, I don't know. Last week or so, Rbox has been pretty quiet, pretty offline. I haven't really seen him that active on the XDA forum, so it seems like he's probably pretty busy. I never ask him when is something coming out or what's the ETA on something. You know, that's up to him. If he wants to take his time, it's totally up to him. You know, people should not be pressuring him, you know, because he's basically just doing this stuff for the community. So it's, you know, it's a little, you know, rude in my opinion to ask for ETAs and stuff. All I can do is let you know what I've heard, what he has voluntarily told me. And so for this last week, I haven't heard anything new. He hasn't really gotten in touch with me. So either he hasn't made any progress or he's been pretty busy or, you know, that sort of stuff. So no updates there, unfortunately, but, you know, just hold tight. Next question here from Gerard Pinzone. He asks, is there any way to get the Fire TV to support NTFS or EXT4 file systems? So there's an app that is called Stick Mount. It requires root. I played with it back when the first gen Fire TV was first released, and it was capable of mounting NTFS drives back then. I have not reapproached it yet, mostly because I'm waiting for the first gen Fire TV to be rooted on FireOS 5, basically the TWRP and the custom recovery. Once that gets released, then I want to reapproach this and see, does stick mount work? Is it still the best option? But if you want to try it out for yourself, it requires root. You can get it from the Google Play Store. Again, it's called Stick Mount. I'll put a link in the show notes. I don't know for sure if it does mount NTFS still on FireOS 5. I haven't tried it myself again, but I do plan to reapproach this and write a new guide and some new information about this in the near future. Next question here is from MJBXX. They ask, does the ADB command ADB shell PM hide com.amazon.device.software.ota block updates on FireOS 5 for a non-rooted Fire TV as claimed in this XDA thread? I've actually tried it and do get the familiar update error, just wanting to be sure as I value your opinion regarding the Fire TV. I have definitely seen this thread on XDA and people claiming that this package manager command does block software updates effectively on a non-rooted device running FireOS 5. I personally have not tested it myself. It's absolutely on my list of things to test. Hopefully soon I'll make a post about this, or actually I'll update my blocking guide at aftvnews.com/block. But what I want to do is I want to get a Fire TV 1, a Fire TV 2, and a Fire TV stick. I want to get them hooked up through a PC running Wireshark so I can monitor all the traffic going back and forth. And I want to run this command that allegedly blocks updates, and then I want to monitor just to make sure that those requests are not actually going through. So again, I want to do it right. That's why I have not written anything about this and I have not included it in my block guide. And so look for that soon. Sorry, I don't have the answer for you just yet. For the most part, it definitely looks like it does work. You know, if I had to guess, I would say definitely it would work. But it's always a good idea, if your device is not rooted yet, to also block through your router if that's an option. Again, there's instructions at the aftvnews.com/block page. Next question here is from Omar Ali. He says, so as a UK Fire TV user, we don't get access to Alexa, but I have noticed that Alexa web app has gained more international support, i.e. UK addresses are being recognized in the traffic update settings, BBC News as a news flash source, and the weather location is now location-based. So on one hand, it looks like Alexa is going international soon. On the other hand, there are no AWS locations in the UK, and we aren't going to get one until quarter four. Has anyone heard of any rumors of an Alexa international release? So I personally have not heard any rumors. I have not read up on any rumors. So right now, it doesn't look like there's any indication, you know, rumors or not, that Alexa's coming to the UK. That said, the fact that the UK addresses are being recognized under the traffic setting, that is a pretty big, you know, indicator. Definitely doesn't mean the UK is definitely getting Alexa, but it is definitely a big indicator. As far as the BBC News flash source being added, that was added for the US also. It's not just a UK thing. So I wouldn't get my hopes up on that bit of change recently, but definitely the UK address thing is interesting. I mean, I have no doubt that the UK is going to get the Echo devices and Alexa very soon, probably in the next few months. You know, that's what my guess would be, just because Alexa is basically Amazon's hottest product right now. It's getting a lot of news, it's doing a lot of great things, people are supporting it. There are, you know, over 300 Alexa skills right now. The developer side of Amazon is always talking about Alexa stuff, always new features being added. So it's like Amazon is putting a lot into Alexa and they recognize that it's popular. And so I bet there are teams right now working on getting Alexa released for the UK. So I bet you we're going to see that pretty soon. So next set of questions here from someone. First off, he's asking about the Splashtop remote desktop app. He says that it stopped working on Fire OS 5, but it was working and still does work on Fire OS 3. And also someone is asking about the GTA Vice City game and how to bring up the map HUD. I'm not too familiar with these specific games and that specific app. I know the Splashtop app is a sideloaded app, so, you know, I'm not surprised it doesn't fully support Fire OS 5. You know, I can't really comment myself on any of them again because I'm not really too familiar with them. Maybe somebody in the comments can chime in if they've got any info about the Splashtop app and getting it to work on Fire OS 5. As far as the GTA Vice City game, yeah, I do remember when I was playing the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas game on the Fire TV, there was some issue bringing up that map. Again, these games are ported multiple times. You know, it was a PC game originally, and then it was ported over to the Android operating system, and then from there it was ported over to the Fire TV. And so it looks like at some point, you know, in the porting, things just get dropped or support gets forgotten. And so, for example, that map button doesn't get mapped. It's kind of a consequence of these games kind of being older games that just get moved from platform to platform. I think on the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas app, initially the map button was not working, but then it finally was started to work, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe GTA Vice City will get that fixed soon also. All right, we've got a comment here from Trox. They say, one can accept the terms and agreements on the Google Play Store using the Fire TV remote by pressing down on the directional pad once, right once, and then select. That's really interesting. That's a good tip. I've got a guide on how to install the Google Play Store on a rooted Fire TV 2. Once we get custom recovery on the Fire TV 1 and the Fire TV Stick, I'll be updating that guide for those older devices, just so people know. I'll put a link in the show notes for those interested. But one of the annoyances with that guide and installing the Google Play Store is that you have to kind of connect a mouse and use like an invisible mouse to click the accept button for the terms and conditions for the Google Play Store. And I guess Trox here is saying that it's actually possible if you just press down and then right and then select, it actually accepts the terms and conditions. So yeah, good to know. Thanks, man. All right, next question here from Eric W. He says, I'm a longtime fan from north of the border. Been watching / listening to the podcast since day one. I'm wondering if you could help me figure out how to download Alexa on my Fire TV. First gen running 5.0.5. He's patiently waiting to be rooted. It's tough getting a lot of apps here in Canada. Any help and guidance would be appreciated. Regards, Eric. Well, thanks for those nice words, Eric. I'm glad you're enjoying the site, enjoying the podcast, and you've been on for a while. First off, the Alexa capabilities on the Fire TV, it's not a separate app. This is actually built into the operating system. So even though you're in Canada and even though you don't have Alexa, your Fire TV does have all of the capabilities and all of the apps already installed. The reason you don't have Alexa and the reason you can't access those capabilities is because of your Amazon account. So your Amazon account is probably currently associated with Canada, so you have to actually create a US-based Amazon account. I'm not sure if you can just go into your Canada Amazon account and switch your international global settings to be US specific and just enter like a dummy US address. That might actually work. Maybe somebody can chime in on Twitter if you guys are using Fire TV based in the US but internationally. Yeah, but basically, once you actually log into your Fire TV with a US-based account, Alexa will just be there and will start working for you. So it doesn't have anything to do with actually sideloading or installing an app. It's already there. It's just being limited because you don't live in the US. All right, next question here from Sam F. He says, I just noticed that today It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was removed from Prime Video, so I can no longer stream old episodes for free. Was it just this show or others as well that were removed, and is there any place this is published? I ask because you post a what's new section, but not what's removed. Thanks in advance. Yeah, for those wondering, I do post at aftvnews.com/what's new. Basically, every first of the month, I post the new content that's coming to Amazon Prime and that's coming to Netflix, actually. Unfortunately, there is no real way to get any information on what's going to be removed. Amazon does not publish that ahead of time, unfortunately. Sometimes you can find that information about Netflix, but I still question the source of that information because sometimes it's not that accurate. So yeah, things do leave Prime every now and then. So if you see something on Prime that you want to watch, you should watch it sooner rather than later. Different deals that Amazon makes with the content creators, the content providers, change over time and they expire so that new deals can be made. And so yeah, unfortunately, sometimes shows get removed and I've yet to find a good source for any information about what's being removed from Amazon Prime. I'm always on the lookout, so trust me, if I ever find a good source, I'll definitely post about it. All right, next question here from CD Lenford. He asks, can you speculate on whether or not you think a rooted Fire TV stick will eventually be able to utilize external storage via OTG cable? That's a really good question. For those who don't know, as I mentioned in last week's episode, with a rooted Fire TV stick using KingRoot, you can actually enable OTG cable support. And what that allows you to do is actually connect USB peripherals to your Fire TV stick, like mice and keyboards and probably even game controllers. And I think I read somebody say that they were able to connect a USB to Ethernet adapter so they can get hardwired internet connection to the Fire TV stick. So well, the one missing thing, like CD Lenford is mentioning here, is that you can't connect external storage to that OTG cable, which is a bit odd because on a lot of mobile devices, a lot of Android phones, once you have OTG cable support, one of the things you can usually do is connect external storage. And so as far as speculating, it's tough to say because the OTG cable support was built into the Fire TV stick's kernel and it was actually built into the operating system. It was just disabled. It was literally just ticked off. So the question is, does external storage support exist on the Fire TV stick and is it just turned off? It's tough to say. It's almost like a coin flip right now. It seems that getting the OTG cable to work was so easy that you would think getting external storage to work would also be easy. I definitely plan to dig into it myself to see if I can somehow figure it out. I was talking to Rbox a little bit about this and he was wondering whether it was actually in the kernel. So maybe this is something he is going to look into once he's working on those pre-rooted ROMs. So maybe his pre-rooted ROMs will actually come with this OTG stuff pre-enabled and, you know, pre-turned on with external storage. So it's still a little early to say. It's hard to speculate. Again, I'm leaning towards 50-50 right now, you know. So there's a decent chance that it'll actually be available. All right, CD Lenford continues on to say, also, since I bought a second-gen Fire TV, I've been hoping to find a good use case for Alexa. I see articles on new tricks and capabilities as they come out, but haven't found anything that makes sense for me to use yet. Is there a comprehensive list of things Alexa can do on the Fire TV? So Amazon themselves, if you go to the Alexa Help section, of Amazon, I'll put a link in the show notes directly to that. They've got a pretty decent list of all the capabilities that Alexa can do by default, but most likely these tricks and capabilities that you've been seeing articles about, they're probably Alexa skills, and these are essentially like apps for Alexa that are created by third parties that add more capabilities to Alexa. So for that, there is no real good list other than the Alexa app or the Alexa web portal. So if you go to alexa.amazon.com, you can log in there and you can actually see a list of all the Alexa skills. So that's pretty much your best bet, is to look at the help section. Amazon has a pretty decent list of all the different things that Alexa can do, you know, by default. And then if you go into alexa.amazon.com, you can see all the skills. I myself actually plan to maybe create a whole separate section of the site, you know, dedicated strictly to Alexa capabilities, and maybe keep track of all the new capabilities that are being added and put a list of all the old ones also. So maybe, you know, hopefully if I have some time in the near future, I'll look into that. All right, next question here is from Frank H. He says, great work on the podcast. Love the show. Have you tried the screen mirroring function with the AFTV or AFTV stick? I have made a couple of attempts with my Nexus 7 tablet and Windows 10 computer. It either does not connect or the video and audio are horribly out of sync. Have you had any winning combination of device to AFTV that gave acceptable performance? Thanks. Me personally, I don't really use the mirroring capabilities that much. I have a Fire HD 7 tablet and that does pretty decent mirroring, but you know, it's a little limited. The Fire TV itself does not really do mirroring that well. I've heard a lot of complaints from a lot of different people how it's always hit or miss, and even when they can get it to work one time, sometimes it doesn't work another time. So unfortunately, I mean, bottom line, I don't recommend the Fire TV as a good mirroring device, but you know, Amazon definitely needs to up their game for the Fire TV's mirroring capabilities, I think. All right, next question here on Twitter is from RZ Recta. He says, can the Fire TV stick use a Bluetooth mouse? Yeah, if the Fire TV stick is running the newer FireOS 5 software update, which is basically FireOS 5 through FireOS 5.0.5, that adds the capability of connecting to both Bluetooth mice and Bluetooth keyboards. So if you go into the controller settings on the Fire TV stick, the third option is add a Bluetooth device and you can just hook it up right there. All right, next question here is from Steve Klein. He says, why do people say that Amazon represents the future of television and movies? I've never really heard that personally. I would assume what they're referring to is that streaming is the future of television and movies. And so, you know, the old method of getting content is through a cable subscription or through a satellite dish, but new method is getting it through the internet, basically. And Amazon and other companies like Netflix and Hulu, and, you know, in the future, Apple's looking to do this and Google's trying to get something going. It looks like, you know, these are companies are the ones that are kind of spearheading this whole newer way of getting content through the internet. You know, cord cutting is what people call it, or over the top is another term that people use for this. And so I would assume that's what people mean if they are saying Amazon represents the future of television and movies. All right, next question here from Joa. He says, I have more of a request than a question. I would like to know if you are going to update some of the old guides, like how to mount an NTFS drive, or better yet, the guide about changing the internal storage to an external storage. Mostly, I would like to do those things for the Fire TV 2, and a lot of things have changed since then. Thanks. Yeah, absolutely, Joa. As I've mentioned before, I'm kind of waiting for all devices to be running TWRP and all devices to have the pre-rooted ROM. And by all devices, I mean the first gen Fire TV, the Fire TV stick, and the second gen Fire TV. Once all those devices have pre-rooted ROMs and have a custom recovery, then I'll be able to kind of test things across the board, and then I'll be able to go in and update all those older guides. For the one you're talking about specifically of changing the internal storage to use external storage altogether, that was very customized for the Fire TV 1, so I doubt that's ever really going to work for the Fire TV 2 unless the developer of that script has updated their script, but I don't think that's the case. But I'll definitely be looking into that again, you know, maybe a month from now, look back at those guides. I'll put posts on the main site when I do update those guides just so people know and don't have to go digging in every time. But yeah, it's on my list of things to do. Next question here is from Ray on Twitter. He says, the Spotify app, is it for FireOS 5? He says, it's very hit or miss on FireOS 3. I have heard a few people commenting about that when I first posted about the new Spotify app that got released for the Fire TV. People were saying how it was very buggy or did not work at all on FireOS 3, even though it was actually available to install on FireOS 3 devices. I have a feeling that was just a mistake. I haven't looked at it recently, but they probably should have only limited that to FireOS 5 because it does not run well on FireOS 3 is what it seems. I haven't tested it myself on FireOS 3, but definitely I've heard several people commenting that it's just buggy on FireOS 3. So you know, avoid that. Wait till you get to the FireOS 5 update and then you can use it. All right, next set of comments here from Vulcan195. He's talking about wanting an HD logo to appear on the cover art of Amazon's content on the Fire TV. He likes knowing ahead of time whether content is high def or low def. Yeah, I think I kind of agree. It would be nice to see that, but then again, you have to realize that you don't want to clutter the interface too much with all the information. So Vulcan wants me to link people to how to contact Amazon if they want to request this feature also. I'll definitely put a link in the show notes. Like I said in the last episode, if you send Amazon like a feature request through their regular contact form, that stuff does get forwarded down to the people that are actually working on the Fire TV's operating system. And so yeah, like Vulcan has said before and is saying again here, if you want feature to come to the Fire TV, you should definitely send Amazon a little note, and I'll put a link in the show notes on how to do that. Vulcan's also asking if there's any development on allowing voice search within apps like Netflix and YouTube, kind of as a replacement for the keyboard, the on-screen keyboard. I have not heard anything myself. I do remember back before the Fire TV 2 came out, kind of when I leaked that information about Alexa coming to the Fire TV, I did hear from one of my sources at Amazon that the initial release of Alexa on the Fire TV is kind of just the first step. They're planning to actually add more functionality and do a deeper integration of Alexa onto the Fire TV in a future update. We haven't seen that yet, you know, probably because the Fire OS 5 had so many bugs that Amazon had to kind of just stop it, all of their new feature development, and work on Fire OS 5's bug fixes and stuff. But I have a feeling that in the future we'll get better voice capabilities even within third-party apps on the Fire TV. I haven't heard anything specifically, so I don't want to give you any false hope, but you know, I just think because the Apple TV just got dictation capabilities where, you know, anywhere that you use a keyboard, you can actually use your voice to type, basically. That feature hopefully should come to the Fire TV to keep it competitive with the Apple TV. Next question here is from Jeff on Twitter. He says, I have a Fire TV 2 rooted with RBox's method. What should be done after a factory reset? Basically, the only thing you really need to do with a Fire TV 2 after you do a factory reset is to reblock software updates. So again, my method at aftvnews.com/block, there's a command you need to run that gets reset after a factory reset. So that's basically all you need to do. I would also recommend re-enabling ADB debugging. That's important just so that you can get into the Fire TV if you need to fix anything. But really, there's nothing really you need to do. If you do a factory reset, rooting is still there. It doesn't actually revert rooting or anything like that. I have an article that I wrote a while back for the first gen Fire TV, but it also applies to the second gen Fire TV, basically outlining exactly what a factory reset does and doesn't do. And so I'll put a link in the show notes on that article just so that you can learn up a little bit more about what a factory reset is actually doing. But essentially all it's doing is it's deleting your customizations, your data, but it doesn't touch the OS. And so if you've rooted with RBox's method, that means you have a pre-rooted ROM installed. And so that OS, that pre-rooted OS, does stay intact after a factory reset. So it's absolutely completely safe to do a factory reset either from the Fire TV settings menu or from within TWRP. If you go to wipe from within TWRP, that does a factory reset. It's essentially the same thing. So perfectly safe to do, and there's really nothing you need to do after the fact. You just have a fresh factory reset box with no apps installed and no data. But do make sure you block updates again. All right, next question here is from Laurie. She says, just wanted to get your opinion regarding IPTV apps in the Amazon App Store. Do they work? Recommendations for a good one to use? Companion apps needed? She says, on a side note, I ordered the RII Ultra Slim Portable Mini Wireless Bluetooth Keyboard with touchpad mouse to connect with my Fire TV Stick. Are you familiar with this product? Thank you, and I look forward to your answer. As far as IPTV apps, really the only good one is Sling TV. You know, it lets you, for $20 a month, get their base package, and then you can add on packages onto there. There's also the Sony View app. That's basically like a cable subscription, but through the Fire TV. It's a little pricey. I think their base price is starts at $50. I'm not too familiar with any of the other IPTV apps that might be available, but definitely I recommend those. As far as companion apps needed, they really don't require any companion apps. You don't really need a keyboard for those apps or anything like that. As far as that Bluetooth keyboard, I'm not familiar with it myself. Again, I've only really used one Bluetooth keyboard, and that was for a review that I wrote about it. I'll put a link in the show notes to that keyboard specifically. But if it uses just the standard, you know, Bluetooth protocol, it should work just fine with the Fire TV Stick, as long as you're on the newer Fire OS 5 update. All right, next question here is from John Grover. He says, when is 4K Kodi and 4K Plex coming to Fire TV 2? On a CNET review, they mentioned Plex is due to support 4K output sometime soon on AFTV. Also, I have a new LG 4K TV and a new Pioneer 4K compatible AV receiver, but when I play Netflix and Prime UHD, I only get a black picture. I've gone to the picture setting and the 4K option is there with no warnings about compatibility issues. If I connect the AFTV direct to the Fire TV, it it's fine. First off, as far as 4K support within Kodi, I would not expect that to come to the Fire TV anytime soon. Amazon themselves are kind of being a little restrictive on which apps can actually switch into 4K mode on the Fire TV 2. I've got a whole article about that that I'll link in the show notes, so I won't go into detail there. I've talked about it on previous episodes, but the Fire TV basically has to switch resolutions when it plays 4K content, and they're not allowing all third-party apps to make that resolution switch right now. And so since Kodi is not an official Fire TV app, I doubt they're going to get that ability anytime soon. As far as Plex, the CNET article that you're talking about is news to me. I'll definitely be checking that out, maybe writing a little something about it if that's actually true, that Plex has said that they're bringing 4K to the Fire TV. That's pretty awesome to hear. Thanks for mentioning that. I'll have to check it out. So I can't really comment on that because it's news to me. As far as your issue with the 4K compatible AV receiver that you're seeing a black screen on, I do remember a few updates ago that Amazon added support for additional AV receivers. So it definitely looks like not all of them are supported off the bat. What I would do is I would contact Amazon, let them know the exact model of your receiver, and they'll probably get back to you with somebody that's actually on the Fire TV team, and they'll, you know, walk you through some steps and take note of your specific receiver and possibly add it as a future compatible receiver. Most likely what's happening is that the HDCP handshake, that basically is the copy protection that is on the 4K streams, it's not doing the handshake right with your receiver, whereas it's doing it right with your TV. And so, you know, there's really no way around that. There are some devices, you can search Amazon, I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes for some. I've never used them myself, but they claim to actually do the HDCP handshake for you. So basically it's a device that you put in line in between your Fire TV and your receiver. And so your Fire TV connects to this device, it does the handshake, and then the signal that comes out of that doesn't have to do that HDCP handshake anymore. You know, you can look into those devices. I don't have experience with them on the 4K side. I do use one myself on the first gen Fire TV because I actually use a game capture device to record the Fire TV screen when I'm doing my guides. And I need to have that device do the handshake because the game capture device doesn't do the handshake. I'll put a link in the show notes to that device. But again, it's not a 4K device, so you're not going to be able to use it for your specific scenario. But I have read that there are these 4K HDCP handshake devices out there. You can check out reviews for them, and I'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes. All right, that'll conclude the 30th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit that like button. I really appreciate that. Definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AFTV News, if you're not already subscribed. Of course, the podcast is always available in audio form through RSS, through iTunes, through TuneIn, through Stitcher, a whole bunch of different sources. So you'll find a link to all of those in the show notes. You can follow me at AFTV News on Twitter. I love to interact with people. People tweet me all week. I respond. If you have questions during the week, I try to get back to you on Twitter also. That's probably the best way to reach me. Of course, I always appreciate those who watch live. I stream live every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. So people interact with me live during the podcast. I always appreciate that interaction. So if you want to watch the podcast live, catch me there live 1:30 p.m. every Fridays. Thanks again for watching, and I'll see you guys next week.